Welcome back to the Sports Ticket. Joined now to talk Chiefs by Danny Welniak, sports director at KCTV5 in Kansas City. Danny has accurately predicted that the people that jumped off the bandwagon would jump back on when the Chiefs were 3-4. Right, Danny?
Yeah, totally. I honestly did not see this kind of outcome coming to fruition. I did not think that there was much hope for the defense. And the fact that they have turned it around, they have gotten healthy, they've gotten back on track, I think is absolutely phenomenal. And we've had a chance to kind of talk to all the different players. And Chris Jones, you know, loves it because he's more healthy, or was more healthy, I guess. Now we're dealing with some other stuff. But Frank Clark's better. He's healthier. He's performing at maybe the best he's performed in his career. And then the addition of Melvin Ingram is huge, too. So seeing all these little things come together for the defense definitely has changed my perspective from the first seven games now to these past, five or six games, and how much they've hit that turning point and they've really started clicking is just night and day from what you saw at the beginning of the season. And in all honesty, you're seeing a little bit of a difference between the offense, too, because the offense was so efficient and it was really good at the beginning of the season, minus the turnovers, which were really bad and ended up costing a few games, to now not turning the ball over as much, but the offense not being as proficient and able to move the ball as well. So it's like all of these different things that are kind of up in the air, but I think you and I are kind of on the same page from the fact that it never really felt like the Chiefs were ever out of the picture. Mm-hmm. It was just a few things here and there that they needed to fix. And I said, even when they were going through their slump, look, these guys are still going to make the playoffs. Something's going to come together. Something's going to click. They'll still make the postseason. But I did not think that they were going to be in the running for the number one overall seed, which they are right now. And that's why the Thursday night matchup becomes so big for this team at this point in the season.
Yeah, I hadn't given up on winning the division. I hadn't given up on the team making the playoffs. But I have to admit, I had pretty much given up on them getting a number one seed. And it is amazing how the entire AFC has come back to the Chiefs. I mean, even the tiebreakers aren't against them right now, except for the Tennessee one. Let's start with, you mentioned the defense. How has that changed the offense's approach? Because now we're seeing the Chiefs maybe not take as many chances. Part of that's dictated by the defense as they see. But at the same time, it's like if your defense is playing well, you don't have to go out and score 40 points and chuck it deep all the time. Talk about the yin and the yang of the defense being better to where the offense doesn't have to do as much.
Yeah, I think we definitely saw that over the last couple of years. And when that defense starts finding its rhythm, I mean, back in 2019, it was the Tennessee game. You know, a lot of players this year are referring back to the Tennessee game as kind of a turning point for them and realizing that, you know, it's not over yet. There's something that's going to click and the defense is going to get better. But I definitely think that Andy Reid, when he has a defense that can win games for you, that he doesn't necessarily show all of his cards and keeps things a little bit closer to the vest, and doesn't feel like they have to make big explosive plays or call big plays every single time. Now, I think a lot of this right now with what they're going through has a little bit to do with confidence and Patrick Mahomes getting comfortable, the offensive line getting comfortable with him. You know, they look a lot better. They're getting to that point. The timing with the receivers has been massive because that hasn't looked great. The drops have been really bad leading up to, I guess, the Raiders game. You know, they've looked good in both of the Raiders' appearances, putting up 40-plus points. So you can point to those two instances and say, hey, this offense still has the ability to be explosive and still utilize and score in completely different ways. But I think that the defense being really good allows the offense to not feel like they have to score every single time they're out there. And back when they were up and down and losing games in 3-4, Mahomes said there were instances where he felt like he was pressing, like he felt like he had to go out there and score every single time because he knew on the other side of the ball it wasn't going to be, they weren't going to make a big stop or the other offense was going to end up in the end zone. And while he didn't say that exactly, he just knew that if they didn't score every time, they were going to have a hard time winning games. And so now that the defense has finally clicked, they're playing better, they don't have that pressure, and you hope that at some point that means that Mahomes doesn't feel like he has to press anymore and that the offense can just kind of open up and be more comfortable and he can hit his receivers and things can start flowing the way that we know that this offense can.
Danny Welniak, she's the sports director at KCTV5 in Kansas City, our guest today on the Sports Ticket. Okay, so Melvin Ingram, Can you quantify his impact on this team? The Chiefs got him a rental player for 9 games and hopefully more, of course, and just gave up a 6th-round draft pick, although 6th-round draft picks can turn out to be pretty good, see Tom Brady, among others. But what about the impact that he's had on this team? Because I've seen some people on social media that are not Chiefs fans, like, oh, you guys make a big deal out of Ingram, but he's only had a couple of sacks. And it's like, dude, it's not about stats. It's about the impact he's had on this team. And I know Coach Reed talked about it after the game on Sunday that, you know, he's fit in. He talked about attitude, work ethic. I noticed that Coach Reed said nothing about him actually making any plays on the field. He talked about fitting in, chemistry. To me, it's some people get caught up in, oh, we could get OBJ. And I'm like, no, I don't want OBJ because I think he could be a problem in the locker room. I don't care if he can catch the ball one-handed all the time. Is he going to really help this team? Melvin Ingram, hey, there's a guy that's made this defense better. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I've been a big proponent since they added him how much of a factor he was going to play along the defensive line. And honestly, from a pass rush perspective, from that front seven, that was something that they needed, and they needed badly, because moving Chris Jones back and forth while he wasn't healthy, dealing with the wrist injury, you needed something else there to ease the load. And there was so much pressure on Frank Clark because it's a contract year. He's dealing with so many things outside of football that he even admitted that he was having a hard time at the beginning of the season just balancing life and football, and how important it is to get your head right when he's got so much going on that he can't really focus on his job. And so finally, I think you're seeing not only Chris get healthy, Frank start, you know, getting life in order. He's playing really well. But Melvin Ingram allows Chris Jones and Frank Clark, and now even we've seen the emergence of Jaron Reed, who Andy Reid was really high on after they picked him up, but he really hadn't done anything until the past couple of weeks. Well, I think a big reason for that is Melvin's presence and what he's been able to do. I am a firm believer that if you are a person who goes straight to the statistics and the box score and says, well, you know, he wasn't productive because he only got this many snaps or only has this many sacks or this many tackles, I don't think you really know football, because it is so much more than just what shows up in the box score on Sundays. It's kind of like I refer to the 2014-15 Royals runs, and that you didn't have these superstars who were putting up massive numbers, but because of the chemistry in the locker room and how they were able to lift each other up and make each other better, it allowed them to go on and win a championship. And so I think that's kind of the same case in football, and especially with Melvin Ingram, is that he's not going to put up the big gaudy sack numbers, but he has been, if you watch any of these Chiefs games, you will see him in the backfield almost every single time, or manhandling the offensive lineman that he's up against, or, you know, plugging his gaps and making sure that the running back doesn't get more than a yard, and it's just phenomenal to watch. I think he has been one of, if not the biggest addition to that Chiefs defense this season, and really a big factor in the reason why they've had this big turnaround.
Yeah, I agree with you. And then also Thornhill getting more snaps compared to early in the year, and Willie Gay being healthy. This team is so much faster. It's more aggressive. It's more athletic. And then you combine that with Ingram added to the equation. It's really quite fun to watch. Let's update folks tuning in here on the Sports Ticket that, of course, the Chiefs Chargers tomorrow night, the big game for the division lead. The Chiefs have a 1-game lead, but if the Chargers win, then the Chargers have first place because they would have swept the Chiefs this year. Update us on the latest with the COVID situation for the Chiefs with Josh Gordon and Chris Jones, and do we know anything new about L'Jarius Sneed and if he'll be back for Thursday's game?
So let's start with the good news. The good news is that L'Jarius Sneed yesterday was on a flight back to Kansas City after missing the previous game to be with his family after losing his brother, which we all, if you have any sort of heart, recognize that is so important and really good for his team to be able to rally around him and to support him through that. And I loved that after the game, Tyrann Mathieu, Mike Hughes, who filled in for Sneed, even Patrick Mahomes said, look, this is a brotherhood. This is something that we are all banding together, and we support him because that is more important. Life is bigger than football, and he needs to be there for his family. And Tyrann Mathieu even said yesterday, he said, you know what, I got a text message back from him this week that said, I love you. And how important that is to have that kind of chemistry, I think, in the locker room just speaks volumes about what kind of leadership Mathieu brings, what kind of defense that this has become. As simple as, you know, sending text messages to each other when you're going through really, really hard times in life. And so he should be back. How much he plays, not quite sure, but we'll see how that all plays out. When it comes to the COVID stuff, obviously it's been a wild this week in the NFL with 37 positive cases on Monday and then the entire Browns outbreak on Tuesday. The Chiefs are not immune to it, obviously, because you had Josh Gordon test positive on Monday, and then you had Chris Jones test positive on Tuesday. So they both went on the COVID reserve list. I don't exactly know the details of how the testing works, and especially on a short week, how that's going to turn out. I know that on Tuesday, Andy Reid said both of their statuses were up in the air based on how testing would go going into the Thursday night game. So Tyron said that they are planning for 95 to not be in there come Thursday, and they're going to prepare that way. But, you know, if something changes, then it would be great for him to be in there. And if he's not in there, it makes a very this defense look very, very different. So it would be great if he could be in there. It would be great if Josh Gordon could be in there. But obviously, with the way in that the testing works and how fluid everything is right now, the status right now is uncertain on both of them.
And the Chargers dealing with this as well. Their outstanding rookie tackle, Rashawn Slater, he's also on that list. And so that's a big blow on their offensive line. And you just mentioned, of course, Chris Jones. And there might be more between now and game time come tomorrow night. But let's just hope that they could get two negative tests within 24 hours, and then they'll be able to play on Thursday. And you hate to see a marquee matchup like this decimated by guys being out. But at the same time, you know, it's kind of funny that the Chiefs, they have caught some huge breaks when you think about it. Obviously, the biggest one was Aaron Rodgers having COVID and not playing against the Chiefs. Let me ask you this, and I'm going to play the other side of the coin here, because the Chiefs' defense, there's no doubt it's improved. It's only given up 65 points over the last six games. I'm sold that they're better. Obviously, they're better. The question I have, Danny, and for other people on the outside looking in, and I think Charger fans could argue this point, and it would be a fair point to me, is, okay, yeah, but who have you played? You played the Giants, Daniel Jones, Barkley didn't play, a couple linemen were out, top receiver was out. You played the Packers, no Aaron Rodgers. You played Jordan Love, first ever start. You played the Raiders, when they lost their coach and lost their best wideout in Henry Ruggs, and Darren Waller missed six of the eight quarters. You played the Cowboys, no Amari Cooper due to COVID. Lamb had a concussion, didn't play the second half, and they were missing offensive linemen or two in that one. You played the Broncos, they're no good offensively, so no big deal there. Then you got the Raiders again. And so Charger fans could say, listen, your defense might be better, but you haven't faced a guy like our guy, Justin Herbert. What would you say to that?
I would say that the Chiefs were this close to beating the Chargers in their first matchup in, I think it was week three. Mm-hmm. And they had four turnovers, yep. Which no one's going to win the turnover. No one's going to win a game with a turnover margin like that. But the Chiefs had a chance still to win against the Chargers when they gave up the ball four times. So and their defense wasn't very good. So that would be my argument, is that this is a different Chiefs team coming in. And that last time around, the Chiefs absolutely shot themselves in the foot multiple times. And I'm a believer that the Chiefs lost that game rather than the Chargers winning that game. So while Justin Herbert is a very good quarterback, and again, in my opinion, he's actually having a better season than Patrick Mahomes is. So he's a potent weapon, and he's very, very good. But I think that this Chiefs defense is so much improved that I just don't see them losing this game on Thursday night because of the way that they played the first time around. Now, the coaches will tell you, hey, throw that first matchup out the window. There's a lot of things that we learned from it. Like, it's going to be two completely different teams. Both teams are better because of it. I get all of that. But I do think that they have had a string of really fortunate events. However, if you've been watching the games and watching how this defense has progressed and how they've held teams to under 17 points for the last, 6 weeks, I just think that this team is truthfully improved. And even, you know, without some of the key players on the offensive side of the ball, Chargers fans can be as optimistic as they want, but I do think that with what we've seen, against the good players that are still in there for the teams that they've faced, they have done a very, very good job.
I would agree with you. And another counterpoint would be that the Chiefs defense actually played pretty well in the first half against the Chargers. And I remember the game was tied and it was a third down play and Mahomes kind of threw it up for grabs and he treated it like a fourth down play. And I remember saying, and we talked about it the very next day on the show, to me that was the ultimate sign that Patrick Mahomes didn't trust his defense. He felt like, listen, we're gonna give up a touchdown. We're going to give up the game-winning field goal. I've got to take a shot on third down, and it ended up being picked. Things are different now. I don't think Mahomes is going to make that mistake in L.A. come tomorrow night. Let me ask you about the offense because, you know, if they could play the Raiders every week, that'd be great. But the interesting statistic I saw yesterday was the Raiders, for some reason, were playing more one-high safety looks, whereas a lot of teams are playing two high safeties, and the numbers the Chiefs offense has put up against two high safeties versus a one high safety, it's quite a large difference. So I don't understand why the Raiders stuck with that philosophy. But what about the Chiefs being patient on offense and more than likely going to see that two high safety look tomorrow night in L.A.?
Yeah, I have no doubt that that's what you're going to see because most coaches who are well aware of what Patrick Mahomes is capable of doing are going to use the two high safety look because that's what's effective. And I think maybe the Raiders got a little bit confident thinking and looking at Mahomes' numbers and realizing that he hadn't thrown a touchdown pass in over 3 weeks, two games, 3 weeks, because one was the bye. So I think there was a little overconfidence there for the Raiders coming into Arrowhead, and I talk about that. I talk about the team dancing on the logo or meeting on the logo and the, you know, wheels on the bus and all that good stuff. But aside from that, I do think that this offense is learning how to play differently. And I love that Andy Reid mentioned this after the Raiders game in that Mahomes is having to be more patient and in turn is having to make this offense as a whole more patient because they're not able to score in the same way that they're used to scoring. And it's not the explosive, I'm going to find Tyreek Hill, I'm going to find Travis Kelce for the big 40 or 50 yard scores. It's going to have to be methodical. I'm going to have to be smarter about what routes I choose. I'm going to have to go through my whole progressions because even Mahomes mentioned that when he was going through his little slump, he wasn't going through all his reads. He was going for the one that he thought would be open and assuming that certain ones were not open, and that gets the offense into trouble and stalls out drives. So if you can be smarter about the way that you run through plays as a quarterback, if you're more confident in your pocket with your offensive line, I think that's a big part of it too, is that the offensive line is completely revamped. Mahomes is now finally getting to a point where he feels comfortable with them. They feel comfortable with him. That's a big thing, too, is that you have to have that mutual respect and chemistry between the offensive line and the quarterback in order to be successful and to sustain drives and to, you know, get the ball into the end zone. And also, it's just such a big trust factor. I think these guys are relearning how to trust each other because they've been so good and so efficient for the past 3 or 4 years that they have to be able to rely on each other even through the slumps and even through the adversity. Like when the receivers drop the balls, Mahomes recognizes that he's got to go straight back to them. He's got to build up their confidence and vice versa. You know, they're there on the sideline when he throws a pick to build him back up and to lift him up. And so I think that going through all of this and having to learn how to play differently than they have in the past is actually making this offense way more potent come postseason time. And, you know, we're still so young into Mahomes' tenure as a quarterback in the NFL. It's going to make him better as he goes on throughout the extension of, what, the decade left of his contract.
You mentioned the offensive line, and I think there is an area of concern there, and that is at right tackle. You, in essence, have your third-string right tackle starting. He's done a serviceable job. There's times he's been beaten, bull rushed, and so forth and so on. I'm talking about Andrew Wiley. Lucas Niang has been hurt. Rimmer's got hurt. What can you tell us about the right tackle situation? Because clearly we saw in the Super Bowl when the Chiefs were down a left tackle and a right tackle, and right now they're down a right tackle, and you know that the Chargers have pass rushers. How do the Chiefs go about dealing with this until maybe they get Niang healthy, or how far has he come in his development, and how much has it been hampered by his injury this year?
Yeah, I think the injury definitely hampers his development quite a bit, and it also doesn't help when you've got a new offensive line, getting that chemistry down with him and you know, putting him back in there when they're starting to finally maybe find some kind of groove and some kind of chemistry there. Now, he's been back at practices, but he's been in and out and hasn't necessarily been back to full health. So maybe that's the case. Maybe he gets back in for an extended period of time come Thursday. Not quite sure yet. However, I do think that Wiley has done a decent job of stepping in, and he is such a versatile guy that he can play all over the offensive line. And I think it's good to note that they still have, even though they're dealing with these injuries and they're trying to figure out who's going to fill in that role permanently, I do think it's good to note that there is depth there. And even with Kyle Long coming back, that's an option along the offensive line wherever you need him to plug and play. Like, they actually have options, which they didn't have in the Super Bowl when everybody was going down, and they weren't going to make that mistake again coming into this season, that they have guys of substance and sustenance and talent that'll be able to fill in if necessary. But I do agree with you that it's really important to maintain that chemistry and to get to a point where Niang can be in there permanently and full time.
Dani Wellinak, she's the sports director at KCTV5 in Kansas City, our guest today on Sports Ticket Talking Chiefs. A couple more before we get to the off the wall, Dani. Mecole Hardman's role in this offense, he's not receiving as many snaps on offense. He was back as a punt returner. Mike Hughes had handled that for a few games. He was back at punt returner against the Raiders. You know, we know option one is typically, well, 1A and 1B is Kelce Hill. They're interchangeable. And there's been so much talk all year long, even in training camp, who's going to be that third weapon? And you hope to be Mecole Hardman. It doesn't appear that he is the answer. Running back by committee in regards to throwing the ball, Hilaire Williams in the screen game, wheel routes. I noticed Gore was lined up on the perimeter as a wide receiver a couple of times, which is kind of interesting to me. Pringles had a few drops, but I think Mahomes trusts him. Robinson scares the you-know-what out of me every time he touches the ball. I don't know if he's going to go forward, backward, hold the ball like a loaf of bread, but he's had some catches recently. What about that third weapon for this offense? And we're assuming, and I think the Chiefs have been fortunate the last few years, that Hill and Kelce, knock on wood, have stayed relatively healthy. They haven't missed too many games to where there hasn't been as much pressure on these other guys. What about that third weapon on offense?
Yeah, I think that there's a lot to that, because I really like the fact that Reed is starting to establish the run when it comes to the offense, and that they're utilizing their running backs more so out of the backfield. And I know that when the Chiefs drafted Clyde, that was a big thing at LSU, was that he could catch the ball and he could make things happen in space. And so seeing that come to fruition, but also the under-the-radar receiver in Darrell Williams and what he's been able to do, I think is really cool, because a lot of guys don't think of him. And, I mean, I don't think many people from the outside looking in who don't really know what he's capable of see him as a guy who can be a receiving threat. And he's done that over the past few games, and I think that's really good to see, because if you can use your running backs as the H receivers and put them in the slot and utilize them when you spread out defenses, I think that makes your offense that much better and that much more potent. While I like that, I do think that most of the season, we all, like you said, have been expecting Mecole Hardman to be that third guy and to really step up, but it's been more so a receiver by committee in that third spot, whether it's been, like you mentioned, Byron Pringle or DeMarcus Robinson or Mecole Hardman. And we had a chance to talk to Mecole yesterday, and, you know, you could just kind of tell by his body language that he's not very happy with where he's at in this offense right now. And he understands that his snap count dropped there for a little bit, had been decreasing, then it went back up against the Raiders. He was more of a threat, but a lot of times that's because that's what he was schemed up for, and that's how Andy Reid's involving him in the offense. And I did like in the Raiders game how they utilized Josh Gordon, who got his first touchdown as a Chief, but again, a play that was very much schemed up specifically for him, as they're on like the 1 yard line. Mm-hmm. And then McColl's plays were, he had a couple really big receptions, but you could definitely tell that it was a concerted effort to get him the ball as well. So you can kind of see from a bigger picture looking at what Andy Reid wants to do with these guys and how he wants to get Josh Gordon more involved. He wants to get Mecole more involved. Byron's been a guy who, despite the drops, has been someone that Mahomes has been relatively been able to rely on. But I also go back to the fact that I think that the running backs are kind of that third receiver, and there have been a couple games this season where they've interchangeably been the leading receiver for the Chiefs. And so I do think, as people may look at the box score and think, man, that's not what we want, I think it's really good to be able to have that threat out of the backfield, as well as have guys like Kelce and Tyreek who can step up and are your future Hall of Famers.
Okay, Chargers-Chiefs tomorrow night, L.A., 6 o'clock pregame on Z96.3 Lake, our sister station, home of the Chiefs in North Central Kansas. What are your biggest concerns going into this game?
I guess probably it's going to be if or if not they play with Chris Jones. That's, I think, going to make a huge difference. Rashawn Slater, like you mentioned earlier, is in the COVID protocol as well for the Chargers. Whether or not he plays, also another big factor. But I think maybe the biggest concern is just the Chiefs getting out of their own head. They have the confidence right now. They've got the swagger coming off a big win over Vegas. They're on a six-game winning streak. Just keep sticking to the fundamentals. Don't drop the ball. I think that's a huge thing for the receivers, is that they have some confidence, that they don't shoot themselves in the foot like they did the last time around. And I think that that is going to make the difference, is if they have that confidence, they're going to be fine. Justin Herbert, like we talked about before, he is a threat. Steve Spagnuolo said every time he looks at the film of him or looks at a different game of him, you know, it always impresses him because there's something different that he keeps learning and he keeps evolving because he's such a young quarterback. So while he might scare me a little bit, the way that the Chiefs have been able to pass rush these past few games and on their six-game win streak, that doesn't really concern me, because I know that even though they may have not played, you know, the top caliber of offenses, you know, the Packers were still a pretty decent offense. Dak Prescott, still a very good quarterback. So Derek Carr, still a pretty good quarterback. I still think that those are guys that they were able to shut down, and you're seeing the defense evolve. So while there are a couple things that might be a little concerning, I really think the biggest thing for me is whether or not Chris Jones plays and if that pass rush can maintain its level of effectiveness with him out.
It should be noted, Patrick Mahomes is undefeated in his career as a starting quarterback in road divisional games, 11-0. I know all streaks must come to an end, but that's an interesting nugget as they go into L.A. tomorrow night. What seed will this team end up with? I want Danny Wilniak to look in her crystal ball and tell me, is this team going to get the 1 seed, a 2 seed, 3 seed? What do you forecast for this team when it comes to playoff seeding? And I think we're, of course, assuming they're going to make the playoffs.
Oh, yeah, they're definitely going to make the playoffs at this point. However, I think they're going to end up with that 1 seed. It's also what I'm hoping for, because I love home field advantage throughout the playoffs. I know the Chiefs do, too. So with the way that this defense is playing, I know the old adage is defense wins championships, and I'm a firm believer in that as well. So I think that they get the number one overall seed, because I think that they end up winning out the rest of the season. And with the way that the other teams have been playing at the top of the AFC, I just don't see the Chiefs not getting that number one overall seed. So that is what I'm going with. I'm gonna be the optimist, but I also have that gut feeling that things are gonna fall into their favor like they have the last couple of years, and number one overall will be theirs.
If the Chiefs win out, that would mean the Titans would have to lose a game and the Patriots have to lose a game. I feel confident the Titans will lose another game. The Patriots, they have the Colts on the road, then they have the Bills at home, the Jaguars at home, but they're at Miami to close the season. And you and I, I'm sure, remember how the Patriots ended the season at Miami with a loss when the Chiefs won the Super Bowl and that gave them number one seed. Perhaps history could repeat itself.
I'm perfectly fine with that. Let's do the Miami miracle. And I don't think there will be any Fitzmagic this time around, but let's go. I'm all about it.
All right, time for the off-the-wall question. So you referred to it. Great, great, great burn, as I like to call it, by those at the Chiefs organization to play the wheels on the bus after the Chiefs beat the Raiders. People don't know what that was about. The Raiders supposedly did a bus trip around Arrowhead before going to airport after they beat the Chiefs a year ago, and I thought that was hilarious. So the off-the-wall question for you, Danny, and you're the mother of a one-year-old, what's your favorite kids' book or kids' song? And no, Wheels on the Bus is not eligible. So something else besides Wheels on the Bus, okay?
So we're big on like narwhals right now. So we have been singing Baby Beluga.
Okay.
That is kind of one of our go-to songs. But of course, there's a ton of different Disney songs that we've been singing. Moana has been one of our favorites. So, but I gotta go with Baby Beluga. If we're gonna go old school kids songs, Baby Beluga in the Deep Blue Sea has been one that we've been singing around our house.
I got it. I like it. All right, let everybody know how they can follow you on social media and get the information once you have it.
So we are very, very active on social media, especially Twitter. If you want the latest on the Chiefs, it'll probably be at KCTV Danny within minutes of it coming out, because we are very, very intertwined with what's going on in the Chiefs organization. So you can check me out there on Twitter at KCTV Danny or on Facebook at Danny Welniak. So that is where you can find us.
Danny Welniak, one of the best in the business, sports director, KCTV 5 in Kansas City. Danny, always a pleasure. Thanks for the time and happy holidays to you and your family.
Pleasure to you as well, and happy holidays to you and your family as well, and go Chiefs.